Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Hafizie Roslin dan juga Hakim Rahman dalam Awani Pagi pada jam ini. Dan pastinya dalam blog ini kita ingin berkongsikan mengenai kepentingan keselamatan cyber. Dan masih ramai pengguna internet di Malaysia tidak cakna, naif dan bersikap tidak peduli mengenai kepentingan keselamatan cyber sehingga terpedaya dan seterusnya menjadi mangsa jenayah cyber ini. Apatah lagi ketika ini ramai rakyat Malaysia yang meluangkan masa secara dalam talian sama ada untuk tujuan kerja, komunikasi, hiburan dan banyak lagi. Adalah penting untuk memahami kepentingan keselamatan cyber ini, Hakim.
Ya, dan untuk kita bercakap mengenai perkara ini, kita nak bersama dengan Devika Sharma, itu pengarah bahagian kualitatif di Nelson IQ, dan kami akan teruskan temubual ini dalam bahasa Inggeris. First of all, Devika, thank you for being with us today. We've been told that Nelson IQ has been conducted a study on the digital responsibility among teens and older adults in Southeast Asia. Could you share with us what digital responsibility means and what inspired this research?
So digital responsibility is making sure that the users in the online ecosystem are safe and secure, and the technology that they use is basically used in a constructive way. So for us at Nelson IQ, it started off with Google sending us a brief, and the brief indicated that there's growing concerns for online safety and security in Southeast Asia. And Google, you know, being committed to their users' safety and security, wanted to understand more on how users in Southeast Asia actually approach these online risks. So this led to a series of qualitative studies on digital responsibility in Southeast Asia that we kicked off in around 2020, early 2020. And these studies basically explored online user behavior, what they perceive digital responsibility to be, and also how they approach all these various online risks.
And Devika, could you share with us how Nelson IQ went about conducting this study? Perhaps more context on the people who were part of the study.
Yeah. So there were four user segments that were identified for this research. So there we had teens, we had parents, working adults, and seniors. So it was important for us to get an in-depth understanding of all these segments, you know, because that's the only way we can effectively address their needs. So we put a lot of thought into how we were, you know, engaging with them. So for adults and seniors, we did focus groups and we did interviews. And with the teens, we did friendship pairs. Because internet use is sort of a personal topic, so we had to use techniques like, you know, presenting them with scenarios they could respond to, so that, you know, they start it encourages them to sort of, you know, share their own experiences. So we also made sure that we went to tier one, tier two, and rural areas, because online behavior and including, you know, device usage, these are all very different when you look at urban versus rural areas.
Yeah, Devika, can you share with us some of the significant findings with regard to the teens and older adult populations' online behavior?
Yeah, so given that this study was done during the pandemic, we all know that there's an increased amount of time users are anyway spending online. So we know that adults, you know, in several markets did have a certain barriers to doing some tasks online, but they were forced to adapt. And also, you know, they did manage to discover efficient ways of doing their daily tasks. So you'll see that they're doing their online grocery shopping or food delivery and even banking transactions more comfortably. And even among seniors, you can see that, you know, they're more inclined to connecting with their loved ones online or even, you know, accessing YouTube for entertainment. But among teens, I think we saw the biggest, you know, difference across markets. We learned that there's a lot of fatigue, and this could be attributed to the fact that they are also doing their school and learning online. So because initially for them, being online meant social media or gaming or getting away from schoolwork. But now we're seeing that those lines are blurring. They're not able to assess how much time they spend for schoolwork versus, you know, play, as they call it, online. And the challenge that they're feeling is also that they're not able to cut down their screen time. So which is why digital well-being has also become a very big topic of concern.
Devika, yes. The notion of digital responsibilities has been more prevalent in recent days. Would you agree that this is due to the growing concern among the people with regard to their digital well-being? What were the other top concerns identified from the report?
Yeah, so let me start with the second part of the question, because so in this study that Nielsen IQ did, we tried to understand the point of view of the users, you know, what are their perceptions when it comes to online risks. And what we found out is that the top concerns are basically the ones that they had no control over and also the ones that they felt had a bigger impact to their life. So there's not a very clear understanding of what privacy meant or online safety or security meant, but there was more familiarity around terms like hacking or fake news and online scams. So the study basically identified three top risks. We had hacking, that was one of the top risks, and then personal data leaks and online scams. So we heard from the teens that one of their biggest concerns was losing access to social media. And from the adults, there was a bigger fear of financial loss. So, and even other, risks like cyberbullying and inappropriate content, dares, for example, these came up among parents and teens. But what I think we really needed to consider is that most users felt that they had these risks under control. And they also indicated that their peers or their friends or, their family were more vulnerable to these risks. So, this sort of sounded like a sense of confidence that they had, which could potentially also put them at risk. And also, we saw that with digital well-being as well, we had parents talk about their kids. We had teens talk about their peers, saying that there is a lot of, online addiction. There's a lot of losing of sleep over using their phones, maybe falling grades, lacking social interaction, etc. But when it was asked about how they manage themselves, they really felt that they had it under control. So we felt that there was this gap between what users, feel or perceive about themselves versus what's actually being observed.
And Devika, what advice or tips do you have for teens and older adults looking to better safeguard their online safety?
Yeah, so based on our, the Nielsen IQ research and also what we heard from the users themselves, there are several ways to address this. And a lot of our recommendations are also based on what we heard from the users. So what we need to talk about is how we can get teens and even adults to more actively manage these risks. Because at this point, we know they're accessing a lot of informal ways. For teens, we see them talking to their friends. A lot of them are into gaming, so they talk to their gaming network, and most of the sources of information are from there. But they're also seeking out formal sources, because they want updated and authentic information. So the good news is that they're quite open to, just learning about what these online risks are. And we also found out that schools have a big potential to impart this kind of education, because Singapore being a great example. In Singapore, we see that, there's a lot more general awareness, higher vigilance when it comes to online risks. And this seems to be because there's so much more engagement coming from schools and as well as the government. Yeah. And we also think the parent-child dynamic is something that we should talk about, because we see parents across markets struggling with their approach with how to keep their children safe. So we see some of them thinking that too much control can alienate their kids. So we do see differences in Singapore where parents prefer to set rules versus maybe other markets where parents prefer a more friendlier approach. Yeah, so, but the good news again is that teens are fine with, parents being involved, but they also feel they don't know enough to do it right. So, yeah, so that's where I think there is a gap. For adults, when we talk about how they can address this, also they need to be a little more active. They do know about aspects like changing passwords often, but they're not really proactive about it. In fact, some of the seniors, when we asked them how they would address if they're at risk, some of them actually said that we might have to go to the authorities. So, it's a very reactive and really they're lacking the areas where they can go get that information or what to do when they face such a problem. So I think other than that, we also sense that in rural areas and tier two cities, there was a gap with accessing educational content because, most of it they felt was in English. And there are also terms like incognito, which, they might feel as very complex and not intuitive, which they don't understand. So it's also important to offer them those, the content in more in languages that they understand and in something that's more digestible for them.
Thank you, Devika Sharma, for sharing with us the findings of the research. Devika Sharma, pengarah bahagian kualitatif di Nelson IQ, berkongsi hasil dapatan kajian dan bagaimana sebenarnya ibu bapa memainkan peranan yang sangat penting untuk membicarakan mengenai soal kebertanggungjawapan digital ataupun digital responsibility dan juga digital literasi kepada anak-anak mereka supaya lebih selamat ketika berada di dalam talian. Baik, Dada Hafizi, saya kira laporan itu tadi mengakhiri awal di pagi pada jam ini.
Saya Hafiz Rosli.
Dan saya kira maju pun lagi.